I don't know how many of you actually watched the inauguration last Friday. I didn't watch on TV, but I watched on YouTube. And what I noticed is that when the president and the vice president are sworn in, they always use the Bible. And Mr. President, you know, putting his hand on the Bible, have you noticed that the Bible was closed? It wasn't open. It was like the Bible. And just put his hands like that. At least that's what I saw, unless you saw a different one. Have you seen the vice president sworn in? How many of you watched that? And how was the Bible? It was open, right? Do you know which place in the Bible was open to? You didn't hear about it, right? I listened to the radio, and this is what it says. It was open to one verse in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which says, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." I thought it was very, very appropriate. Anyway, we all need healing in our land, isn't it? Let's pray for the leadership. Anyway, speaking of the Bible verse, 2,000 years ago when Jesus launched his public ministry, he also used the scripture. This time, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. In today's reading, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it's a direct quote of Isaiah 61. And there, 2,000 years ago, in a small town called Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, about less than 500 people there, not a big village, Jesus proclaimed, if you look at the last verse here of verse 19, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That favorable year of the Lord is Jubilee. If you were here last Sunday, I talked about Jubilee. Jubilee means to return to the original state God intends us to be in. It is a release from all types of bondage, spiritual, physical, and emotional, and even financial. In one word, Jubilee means freedom. For our freedom, God sent Jesus the Messiah to this earth to set us free from the bondage of sin and death and to release us from physical and emotional evils. For today and next Sunday, we are going to focus on what Christ has done for our Jubilee, for our freedom, through his 3-year-long public ministry. He did three things. If you look at today's second reading, Matthew chapter 4, 23, it sums up quite well as this. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, number one, teaching in their synagogues, and number two, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and number three, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So this is what we'll do today. We'll think about Jesus' teaching ministry, particularly about truth, which is the foundation of Christ's teaching. And next Sunday, we will talk about healing. By the way, next Sunday during the service, after my sermon, we're going to have prayers for healing. So anyone who's sick, you know, just invited to come forward, and I'm going to pray for them. Jesus was a marvelous teacher. There was none like him. At his teaching, people in the time of Jesus were astonished. They said, "Wow, we never heard of such a teaching." Wouldn't it be nice if you say on your way out today, "Wow, I never heard of such a great teaching from Pastor Choi." Just be a good friend, okay? But people constantly did with Jesus' teaching. Not only taught he God's word with authority, but also he gave lessons that matter in people's life, both temporal and eternal. Here are a few examples. I don't know about you, but you know, when Jesus says, about person too critical of others. Jesus says, why do you look at a speck in someone else's eye when you fail to see a huge log in your own eye? What about this one called Golden Rule? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. You know, you think, some of us think that, oh, that's a very good old saying, adage. No, it was Jesus who coined that sentence we call Golden Rule. What about Good Samaritan story, prodigal son story? There's so many great teachings of Jesus. Now, if I collect all these Jesus teaching and squeeze them down and just funnel through and boil them down to one verse, which one would you choose? I would choose John chapter 8, verse 32, which says, Jesus saying again, you shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Truth shall set you free. How wonderful it is, isn't it? Truth indeed brings us jubilee. Without truth, none of us shall be free. Apart from it, we shall live a life enslaved to sin, death, fleshly desires, and the devil. Anyone who desires to be free from bondage must begin with truth. Now, what is truth? Have you ever thought about it? I was in Michigan 20-some years ago, a pastor, and a member of the church came to me, Pastor Choi, what is truth? I still remember her face. Let's begin with a secular definition of truth from Wikipedia. Nowadays, people use Wikipedia a lot. Truth, I quote, is most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality or fidelity to an original or standard, unquote. Well, that's good enough. What about my own? It always helps me, I don't know, you know, it helps you too, if you think of your own definition and understanding. Here's my own definition of truth. Truth is something that never changes, something that always stays the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Truth matters now, and it matters eternally. That's truth. It matters in the West. It matters in the East. The world stands and operates on the truth. Here's an example. The law of gravity. As long as we live on the surface of the earth, there is such a thing called law of gravity. You drop something, it always goes downward. It never goes upward. Right? What about the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and every person dies? And all these things I would consider the truth. Now let's listen to God's definition of truth this time. First of all, Jesus is the truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this, I'm the way and the truth, not just a truth, but the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The same Jesus also declares that God's word is the truth in John chapter 17, 17. So why does truth matter? Without truth, we cannot fully live out our life. Truth brings us closer to God. The Bible says that truth helps us to worship God in spirit and in truth. It also sanctifies us. It means that it helps us to become a better person every day. And truth helps us to fight temptations too. Remember Jesus? He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything. Of course, as you could imagine, he was very hungry and thirsty. And the tempter came to him, approached him and says, Jesus, you are the Son of God, aren't you? You could turn anything into anything you want, and look at the stones and rocks on the ground. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread and eat them? You can do it. You know how Jesus, you know, fought that? He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was using this, actually quoting a verse in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. He fought the temptation with the word of God. Truth also gives us comfort and strength and wisdom and courage. It builds us up too. Talking about self-esteem. You know, the other day I was reading the book regarding the youth, and three things youth are most into. I think it's still true. The author wrote, he says, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, music. And he diagnosed, at least he was the youth leader, he says, because of their low or poor self-esteem. Somehow they want to identify themselves with something stronger, or just rock star music, whatever, right? Speaking of self-esteem, adults are not much different from the teens either. You know, I was reading about 10, 15 years ago, I cannot exactly, reading the Bible. I was in the first chapter of Mark, verse 11. Let me tell you the context. Jesus was just baptized by John the Baptist, and he was coming out of the water, and heaven cracked open. There was a voice coming out of heaven and saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." I read that passage, let me tell you, scores of times. But it didn't happen. It didn't mean, oh, I know, Jesus was baptized and moved on so forth. It's very nice, God speaking to them. But that particular morning, I felt God was speaking to me. Yeun Choi, you are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased. And I said, Lord, thank you so very much for telling me. When God says, I love you, and personal, and I said, Lord, who am I to question the way you look at me? From then on, I always remind myself, each time I feel down, each time I have a low self-esteem, I said, remember how God looks at you. God says, I love you. Never, ever doubt. So standing before the mirror, whenever I look at my face, I'm only 5'4", folks. Oh, a little tiny, you know, standing next to a guy like 6'5" or something. I feel like a miniature. Doesn't matter. When God says, don't forget I love you, I said, that's it. And I begin to look as God sees me. You see what I'm saying? That's self-worth given by God, not by anybody else. So the word of God, the truth, builds us up. Truth also gives answers to our questions, and of course it helps us to fight all falsehood and lies. Now, speaking of lies, one of the biggest lies in the world today is this. You've heard this before. There's no such a thing as absolute truth. How many of you heard of this one? Am I the only one? You constantly hear. In the name of relativism, everything is relative. You believe one thing and I believe another thing. No one is right, no one is wrong. Therefore, let's respect each other and let's tolerate each other. Now, someone made a comment, there's no such a thing as absolute truth. And the other person quietly slinged and said, does it mean that your own statement, that is, says there's no absolute truth, is not a truth either? And the person said, no, you got to believe this one. And the other person says, you're contradicting yourself. When you say there is no such a thing as absolute truth, your own statement is not absolute truth, therefore I don't have to believe. And whoever came up with this, there is no such a thing as absolute truth, amended their statement. Now, you know what they're saying? There is no absolute truth except the statement that there is no absolute truth. You see what I'm saying? Do not ever believe in such a lie. It is directly from the devil, the father of all lies. We need the truth. Without truth, we will stay in darkness and falsehood and lies and bondage forever. With truth, however, we will dwell in the light, joy, peace, and liberty. That truth I'm talking about is Jesus. And that truth is God's word, the scripture. Now, I'm going to give you some homework to do. If you agree with me and if you want to have a jubilee realized in your life this year and beyond, as I said, jubilee means freedom. Ask yourself, do I really desire to be free from whatever types of bondage? And then you're ready to ask the next question, how can I be free in Christ? And I'm talking about how-tos here. How can a person be free in Christ? I'm going to give you three things. As I said, you are the ones who need to do this homework. Number one, you need to know the truth. Know the truth. How can you be free by the truth if you don't know anything about the truth? So the question is, how do I know the truth? By getting to know Jesus, the truth, and by getting into the Word of God, the truth. Very simple. You know, there was a missionary in the 19th century whose name was David Livingston. He was a missionary to Africa. And what he did is that he was going from village to village, from tribe to tribe, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And one day he stopped in one village and he proclaimed the gospel, thank God, beginning with a chief, the head of the tribe, all the way down, everyone converted to Christianity in that village. Thank God, David was very happy. Livingston was about to move on to the next village. On his way out, the chief standing and say, Mr. Livingston, wait a minute. We just became Christians here, according to your gospel. And why are you leaving us? And David says, well, you know, it's just my job is done here. I'm moving on to the next village. And this one, chief says, no, would you stay with us and tell the story over and over again every single day? And David says, you heard once. Why do you want to hear again? Actually, Dave was quite pleased and intrigued with the chief request. And his answer was, because lest we forget. Did you know that scientifically it is proven that whatever you memorize today, 100%, by the next day, how many percentage you lose, you forget? 80% of the thing you will forget. That's why we need to repeat over and over again. Especially it's important. And that's why I encourage you to read the Bible daily. By the way, I brought this one, 365 Bible Reading Plan. It's available, anyone would like to. Someone did some research on the benefit of getting into the Word of God. Turns out that people who read the Bible at least four times a week significantly reduced their chances of getting roped into behaviors that would mess up their lives. People who read the Bible at least four times a week have lower odds of smoking, 36%, getting drunk, 57%, promiscuity, 68%, porn, 61%, gambling, 74%. Set your heart to study the truth. Now, here's the reality, though, in America. The vast majority of believers in America are illiterate of God's Word. Few people get into God's Word. And ignorant of Jesus' teaching, so many God's children remain deprived of blessings thereof. Why? Because they lack the desire to get into the treasure of Jesus' teachings. What's the end result? They may miss out on the life-transforming lessons of Jesus. You know, I don't have time today to share with you my testimony. God's Word, the truth, literally saved my marriage. And that's for another topic, another time. And if we just don't get into the Word of God, we may miss out on the abundant life in the Holy Spirit. The worst of all, we may miss out on eternal life if we neglect God's Word. Now listen to this poignant statement made almost 60 years ago by one man whose name is Jim Elliot. He was martyred in Ecuador in the 1950s. He was a missionary. In his journal, he wrote about the Christians in America in 1950s, okay? They have the scriptures, Moses and the prophets, and a whole lot more. Their condemnation is written on their bank books and in the dust of their Bible covers. Very poignant. I wonder how much it has changed in the next 60 years. I'm afraid not much. Do you know who Satan is? Yes, everyone knows that Satan is the bad guy. The Satan is Hebrew word Satan. Satan literally means adversary, enemy. That's the meaning of Satan. Do you know what his ultimate goal is? To deprive you of eternal life, to take you down to hell with him. How does he achieve that? Listen very carefully. By convincing that you can live by bread alone without God's word. by convincing you that God's word is too difficult to understand so that you may not open the Bible, by convincing you that it is the preacher's job, not yours, to study the word of God, by keeping you from having access to God's word, by keeping you ignorant of the salvation knowledge. He will do everything and anything in his power to keep you from God's truth so that you may miss out eternal life. I spoke with the children about what's happening while you listen to the sermon. A lot of times our thoughts digress and you're distracted. It's not a natural thing, folks. When you watch TV, it doesn't happen. But when you listen to the sermon, it always does, even to the preachers. If I sit in your pews, I'm thinking of something else. Because the devil takes the thoughts out from your word, God's word. It's not my word after all, it's Jesus' word. Never ever allow your enemy to achieve that goal. Now, that's the first one, know the truth. The second one is to tell the truth. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor." We are living in a time of plenty lies. We begin to hear in the past a couple of months, fake news, fake news, fake news. If you ask any college students or even high school kids, how's the cheating situation in your school? They will tell you a lot of cheating going on. It seems like getting worse and worse. We are living in such a time as this. Let the world know that Christians do not lie, but tell the truth. It is our homework. Each time we tell the truth, it brings us one step closer to God. And each time we tell a lie, it brings us one step closer to the devil. Finally, live out the truth. I said, know the truth, tell the truth, and live out the truth. Let's not be a hypocrite. Let's not fool ourselves either. If you read Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talking about two builders. One he called wise builder, the other one is foolish builder. The wise builder, built his house on the rock. The foolish builder built his house on the sand. Makes sense. But Jesus says, you know what? Everything looks fine and dandy when the weather is very nice. Everything's standing as it is. But the rain came down. It created waves, and waves struck against the house. And the house built on the rock stands strong, but the house on the sand collapsed, and the destruction was great. And Jesus says, who's the wise builder here? Who hears the word of God and does it? Who's the poor, foolish builder? Who still hears the word of God, but never put into practice? Be the wise builder. As for closing, I will say this. God has given us the Bible and the resident teacher in us. That is the Holy Spirit. Now we have God's word right under our nose and the divine teacher in us. Show me a believer who takes God's word seriously, and I'll show you a believer who loves Jesus and has eternal life. Get into God's word today. By the way, you know, about 3 years ago when I came here, I challenged the congregation to read through the Bible from cover to cover. The challenge is still on, and as of today, 12 people completed that challenge. I promised them, if you complete a challenge, tell me your name, so that I could record your name in my own handwriting in this book I would call The Book Club, meaning the Bible Club. And so far I have 12, and I promised them at the time we'll have luncheon together, and we're going to have a luncheon in March. But I encourage every one of you to have lunch with me. Consider like having lunch with the President of the United States. Invitation is out there. It would be my greatest joy if I see, my goal is this, everyone in my congregation recorded in my book with my own handwriting. That would be my greatest joy and pleasure. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and if you believe his teachings are truth, and you'll take the Bible seriously. If you're serious about your freedom in Christ, and if you're most serious about your eternal life, you will set your mind to get into the Word of God, and you will be forever blessed. Let's bow our heads and pray. How hard it is, Lord, for us to get into the Word of God. By the end of the day, when we are thinking of, oh, maybe I should read one chapter or two, we are too tired. Perhaps the next day, perhaps tomorrow. And that has been going on hundreds of years, I think. But today, we're going to break that cycle. We give ourselves, dedicate ourselves to you and especially to Jesus, the truth, and to God's Word. If we have time to spend with TV, watching TV for 1 hour, 2 or 3 hours and 4 hours a day, we sure have time. Help us never fall into the temptation and lie of the devil saying that you don't have time to read the Bible. It's too difficult to understand. No. Help us, Lord. Not only knowing the truth, telling the truth, but living out the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.